It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Turns, shoots, scores! There he is!
From coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to an early and shortened edition of Overtime, middle of the week. We will not be over the hump with you when we say goodbye. We're going to clear the airwaves at 11:30, but just about rolling downhill into the weekend on this Wednesday, August 6th edition of Overtime. Lot to get to today. Exciting news, surprising news from the Cleveland Browns. They're going to start Shedeur Sanders at quarterback for their weekend opener in the preseason against the Carolina Panthers. Certainly could be more daunting teams to go against than Carolina. So maybe on Monday, we're talking about Shedeur looked pretty darn good. Hold the presses. Maybe this should be the starter. But a lot of people going to bat for Joe Flacco, yours truly as well. Within the last couple of days, I think Flacco gives you the best chance to win, but certainly could be surprised by Shedeur, by the other quarterbacks on the roster there in Cleveland. And there are a lot. A redemptive win last night for the Minnesota Twins. They get after the Detroit Tigers, and Chris Paddock, former Twin pitcher, first player dealt at the fire sale deadline deals for Minnesota. Paddock and Dobnak end up in Detroit. Minnesota says, we know you, we know your stuff, and we're not going to fall for any of it. Minnesota all over Paddock early to the tune of a 6-3 win, and so much more on the way. Latest from the NFL, season preview for the Philadelphia Eagles, a.k.a. your defending Super Bowl champions. As much as that pains me to say it, Eagles are a very hateable group with a lot of likable players on the roster. Saquon Barkley, Cooper DeJean, many others on that roster for Philly. We preview that team season and why I'm still hammering the over on Philadelphia despite a lot of love from Las Vegas. Week one area high school football schedules, college football latest, buying and selling title odds at the FBS level. That'll consume the back half of hour number one, and then hour number 1.5. We're off the air at 11:30. Headlines, highlights, the identity crisis. You can still win big today on the show, and we'll squeeze in the good, the bad, and the ugly with a couple stories you don't want to miss. Let's start with those Minnesota Twins. Chris Paddock was the starter on the mound for Detroit last night. Zebby Matthews got the nod for Minnesota. Safe to say the Twins got after their old teammate pretty darn early in the top of the first.
Tischel at the plate facing Paddock, and here's the 0-1 fly ball. Well hit, left center field. Jamai Jones to the warning track, to the wall. Gone! A two-run home run. Tischel's first major league home run. It is 3-0 Twins.
And Count Tischel as a minority of players, fans, coaches, executives, whatever it might be with Minnesota that is very excited about the roster turnover, the opportunities that he's getting. Obviously made the most of them last night. Here's Tischel on the excitement of the youth and the new look of the Minnesota Twins.
There's so much excitement. I mean, the clubhouse, it's got a lot of new people in it, and it's just got so much excitement because there's so much more opportunities and just a lot of guys that are really good guys around here. So I'm really excited to get after it with these guys. A lot of hardworking individuals that are going to go out there and play the game the right way and play the game hard. So I'm just honored to be able to be a part of this and excited to see what we can do as a team, because we're going to go out there and compete. And who cares what it says? I mean, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. You got to go do a job. So I think everybody has the right mindset and everybody's going to go out there and work really hard.
And that's Luke Tischel, first career homer last night, gave Minnesota a 3-0 lead in the first. Minnesota goes on to win 6-3. Zebby Matthews earned his third win of the year. Here's Rocco on his performance.
I thought he looked really good. He had to pitch a lot to get through the first three innings. Once he got actually towards the end of his outing, he got real efficient, stayed in the zone, got some weak contact, and was able to give us five good innings. And there was a little while where you're like, he looks good, but is he going to be at 100 pitches soon? And, you know, we got to see how he's doing at that point. But again, I think he pitched a little differently as the outing went on. and found a way to get the quick outs, which really mattered.
It ended up mattering in the end. Minnesota now split in the series against Detroit. Game 3 coming up here in about 90 minutes. Pre-game coverage. Game 3 will get started at 12:10 this afternoon. 6-3 the final yesterday. Other finals for Major League Baseball. Cubs continue to struggle against the Reds. Cincinnati wins at Wrigley yesterday 5-1. Cleveland wins against the Mets again in New York 3-2. Kansas City down in Boston 6-2 as the Red Sox one of the hotter teams in Major League Baseball, but the hottest team in Major League Baseball and a historically hot team for their own franchise is the Milwaukee Brewers. They keep on winning. They have now opened up a 4-game lead on the Cubs, the team that they were buried behind in the Central not too long ago. Milwaukee now the banner carrier, torch carrier for that division. 7-2 victory against Atlanta yesterday. Brew Crew cooking at 69-44. Toronto all over Colorado again 10-4. White Sox lose in Seattle 8-3. And lastly, Dodgers double up St. Louis 12-6 at Dodger Stadium. Now today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins and Tigers get going at 12:10. Pre-game coverage right here on the Minnesota Twins Radio Network starts at 11:30. Guardians and Mets get going from Citi Field at the same time, 12:10 start. Reds at Cubs 1:20. Other matchups on the way, Blue Jays at Rockies, Cardinals at Dodgers, Red Sox home to the Royals, Brewers visiting the Braves. You can watch that one on Fox Sports 1 at 6:15. Lastly, the White Sox at the Mariners, the nightcap at 8:40. Well, tomorrow night, we'll have week one of the preseason National Football League action underway. 3 games on the way, Colts at Ravens, Bengals at Eagles, Raiders at Seahawks. Colts and Ravens, 6 o'clock. Raiders at Seahawks, 9 o'clock. Those will be televised on NFL Network. And let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. They have been the team to talk about for all the wrong reasons lately. Still a standoff with Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones. I don't know why Micah Parsons won't just negotiate on a napkin. Michelle Smallman saying, I can't understand why anyone wants to play for this team.
What I can't understand is why players want to be a part of this. I know that Jerry Jones is going to write a big old check. I know that the Dallas Cowboys are one of, if not the biggest brands in all the sports worldwide. I get what it means to wear that star on your helmet and the opportunities that are afforded to you after you're done playing because of your association with this brand. These guys are sacrificing their bodies. They're taking times away from their families to win a championship. And at some point, I was just waiting for a star player, somebody who actually has the power to get out of there and stand up to Jerry Jones to say, I want to win. I'm sick of this charade. I am sick of putting myself in this toxic relationship for your ego and your entertainment. I want to get out of this. I want to press stop on this carousel. And I'm hoping that Micah Parsons sees it through. But ultimately, I think he's just going to get a big fat check from Jerry Jones. And we're going to be talking about another star in Dallas.
And we are going to be talking about another star in Dallas. I'll be floored if Parsons gets moved as much as it would delight me to see him in a new spot where he could make all sorts of impact. Was flirting with Aaron Donald via text message about trading the opportunity to play for the Los Angeles Rams. Who knows what could come for Micah Parsons. I don't think he gets moved. I think we just play out the string here. Jerry Jones eventually ponies up and maybe involves his agency. That's a novel idea. But I agree with Michelle Smallman. There is no more overvalued team in American sports than the Dallas Cowboys. They are a big brand. I understand why they're a big brand. They got the success right when the NFL was burgeoning and booming in the mid-90s, and it's continued and continued. Jerry Jones, not afraid to spend money, not afraid to be the ringleader of a circus like he's been down in there in Dallas and spend the money and pony up for the massive stadium, one-of-a-kind gem at a time, things of that nature. That's great. But in terms of the Yankees, the Lakers, the Cowboys, and other big brands in the American sports scene, the Cowboys are the team there that hasn't done a lot of championship caliber winning, not winning the division routinely, not winning the NFC ever since 1995, 1996. And then, of course, no Super Bowls. And that's the way you measure success in the National Football League. There's no bigger brand in the NFL than Dallas, but the success on the football field, a lot to be desired. Michelle Smallman not missing there. Well, former Wisconsin Badger, Hall of Famer, and former Cleveland Brown starting left tackle on a bunch of bad teams, Joe Thomas joined Unsportsmanlike this morning, going to bat and waxing poetic about his former team in Cleveland. Who should start this year in Cleveland for the Browns?
Well, I think right now Joe Flacco is the clear leader in the clubhouse. Obviously, he's the guy with far and away the most experience. He's been in Cleveland before, done a good job a few years ago when he came in and he led them to the playoffs, and it was a fun and exciting run for the Browns. But I think Kenny Pickett has been a guy that surprised a lot during training camp, has looked really, really good. But the problem is he got banged up. He got nicked. So right now the Browns really have Shedeur Sanders for this first preseason game, and they brought in Tyler Snoop Huntley as an option because Shedeur is really the only healthy available quarterback at this point.
And that's the messaging coming out from Cleveland this morning, is that it will be Shedeur Sanders and Tyler Huntley, who just got there a couple days ago as the quarterbacks that will play in Cleveland's preseason opener. That's going to be coming around against the Panthers on Friday night, 6 o'clock on NFL Network. More from Joe Thomas on Shedeur Sanders, what he expects to see, what he needs to see from the former Colorado Buffalo star.
I think everybody's going to be looking for that explosive playmaking ability, that ability to kind of move in the pocket a little bit and then deliver some impressive, accurate throws down the field. That's kind of what people knew him for in college. But on top of that, what I want to see is how he's going to operate the offense. What's his ability at the line of scrimmage to be able to make checks when he needs to get everybody organized at the line of scrimmage when one of the rookies doesn't line up in the right spot, and just general operation, because that's been a little tricky, and that's completely normal for a rookie, right? They're swimming. They're trying to learn the snap count. They're trying to learn the playbook. They're trying to learn their coach's names. They got a lot of things going on, but just being able to operate efficiently, I think will go a long way in the quarterback battle for him, and it'll go a long way towards the coaches wanting to give him some more opportunities in practice.
A lot of eyes and ears on that ball game Friday night, preseason opener for the Browns and Panthers, 6 o'clock on the NFL Network. Other news to get to coming up on Saturday. Packers will open up the preseason against the New York Jets. We will wait and see. Matt LaFleur was pretty darn prickly yesterday throughout his limited press conference in Green Bay. Started out saying, well, all these guys are football players. They better be ready to play, without commenting individually as to who will play and for how long. But Jason Wilde of ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, had this to say about how Matt LaFleur levels up Jordan Love, and that's continued into his third year as the starter.
What evidence do you have to say that LaFleur is leveled down? If anything, if you'd have been to practice in 2020, 2021, or 2022, you'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe how good this Jordan Love guy is, because when I saw him at practice, he kind of stunk. So, if anything, maybe he's leveled up the quarterback that took a while to develop and has done a good job.
So, yeah, it feels like that's the case, because Jordan Love, when he got in, nobody thought he was ready to plug and play. All the draft narratives were, you just wait and see with Jordan Love. He's got the skills. He's got the skill set. He's raw. His footwork stinks. His arm is electric at times and boneheaded at other times. Going to take some time. And the Packers gave him 3 years behind a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Gets year one, slow start, great finish. Year two, dinged early, still a great finish. Playoffs again. We'll wait and see what the Packers can do in year three. It all begins on Saturday. Jets at the Packers, 7 o'clock on the NFL Network. Broncos will be in action Saturday night as well in San Francisco against the Niners. Santa Clara, technically, Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, talking about what the Broncos ceiling is this year.
Super Bowl. And you just look at both sides of the ball. You know, we talked about Caleb Williams before.
What?
Bo Nix played really good football. He's going to get better, take another step. That offense is going to be extremely efficient.
Bo knows.
But if you look, Bo does know. But you look at the other side of the ball, guys, that is a championship defense. You talk about Zach Allen, Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, and then they went out and added two guys from San Francisco, Dre Greenlaw and Taloa Hufanga. They took Jahdae Barron in the first round. That's a championship defense, and I think an efficient offense.
Absolutely false for the Denver Broncos ceiling being the Super Bowl. I like Denver quite a bit. I really like what I saw from Bo Nix. They need to figure out that the backfield there at running back, R.J. Harvey in the mix, and many, many others. I don't think Denver's going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl. And I'm not throwing shade at them as much as it's the same narrative I'm painting out with the Washington Commanders. I just need to see more from Bo Nix. I need to see more proof of concept from Sean Payton excelling offensively. They got beat down by the Buffalo Bills in the postseason. They're a little bit far away from a Super Bowl ceiling. That does not mean that I don't think they can win a playoff game, that I wouldn't be surprised if they win two playoff games depending upon matchups, but I don't view Denver as a Super Bowl ceiling team. I'm sorry. I'm not out on the Broncos. I've got them in my playoff field. I've got them in the mix in the AFC West, but you got the Chargers to deal with. You got the Texans to deal with that are the peers of Denver, and then you have three teams that are far and away better than the Denver Broncos and the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens, and you could lump in the Bengals as a peer. You could lump in the Steelers as a peer. year team for Denver as well. I do not think the Broncos are going to stink. I do not think they're a Super Bowl contender. I think they'll be pretty good. Win a playoff game? Sure. Wouldn't surprise me. Win two? That'll surprise me. If they go to the Super Bowl, I'm going to dig this clip out and say just how wrong I am on the Denver Broncos ceiling this year. Other news from the NFL, Dolphins at the Bears will kick off Sunday coverage of the preseason. Noon start time on the NFL Network, and Harry Douglas is saying the thing out loud that a lot of people are thinking about the Chicago Bears.
I was one of the guys that, man, as soon as Ben Johnson went there, boom, the Bears are going to make the playoffs. They're going to make it as a wild card team. I do not feel that way right now. I don't feel that way right now because whenever you have your head coach, a guy who's going to be calling the plays as well, whenever he says that, hey, we're going to be building from the ground up, I want Caleb Williams to get this footwork right. Also, to be able to throw with anticipation, it starts with the cadence, and we use shifts and motions and all those things to our advantage. That's a lot of stuff, right? That's a lot of stuff that you want your quarterback to work on. And when you look at their schedule, it's not like they have any cupcakes coming out the gate. So instead of them making the playoffs, we could be talking about this team probably not even winning six games.
That's a negative approach for the Chicago Bears. But as Michelle Smallman said last week, and I've been saying all offseason, I don't think the Bears are going to the playoffs this year. That shouldn't be breaking news. That's not a hot take. But their mission this year is to get Caleb Williams right. Let's see some progression. Let's see some buy-in. Let's see some improvement in his game. And the attitude and the gelling with Coach Ben Johnson needs to be there heading into 2026. I'm not saying mail the season in. You never know what's going to happen. But I don't think the playoffs need to be the measuring stick for Chicago as much as progression with Caleb and getting that roster rounded into shape to compete even deeper in 2026 and beyond. Rounding out the scorecard now, your NASCAR race coming up this weekend is a road course race at Watkins Glen, Sunday, 1 o'clock on USA TV. PGA Tour begins action tomorrow from the FedEx St. Jude Championship. That runs through Sunday. WNBA basketball last night. They returned after a night off on Monday. Indiana lost to LA 100-91. Sparks are 13-15. And the Lynx, no problem. Missing out with Nafisa Collier out. Jessica Shepherd had 13 points and 13 boards as the Lynx get by Seattle on the road 91-87. Just one game tonight, league-wide in the WNBA. That's the Aces at the Valkyries, 9 o'clock on NBA TV. Let's dive right in, shall we, to your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. As always, proudly brought to you by a better local banking option in the Sioux Empire and beyond. It's ReliaBank. Check them out in person in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com. South Dakota Volleyball is excited to invite all of Coyote Nation to celebrate the start of a new season with the First Serve event taking place on the evening of Friday, August 22nd at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center Practice Gym and Dome Club. The evening includes an open practice, student-athlete and staff interaction, Q&A dinner, and more. Highlights include dinner with staff and student-athletes, season outlook from the student-athletes and coaches, and kids' floor time with the team. The cost is $40 for adults, $10 for youth tickets. Friday, August 22nd. Circle it on your calendar. Find out more details and grab your tickets now at GoYotes.com. South Dakota State and Nebraska both participated in their opening exhibition match ahead of the 2025 season just yesterday at Fishback Soccer Park. The two sides played a competitive 90 minutes as the Jackrabbits and Huskers finished regulation scoreless at a 0-0 tie. Both teams had scoring chances in each half of the action, but neither found the back of the net. Nebraska finished the contest with an 11-9 edge in shots on goal. Up next for SDSU, they'll host its final exhibition match coming up on Friday. Jackrabbits are slated to take on Iowa Lakes Community College at 7 o'clock at Fishback Soccer Park. More details at GoJacks.com. And Augustana Athletics, prepare to get back to action this fall. Single game tickets are on sale for both football and volleyball. While football still has season tickets and premium seating available for the coming season, single game tickets begin at just $20 for adults with advanced tickets available by clicking at the links at GoAukie.com. Volleyball single game tickets are available at $12 a piece for adults. Can also be found at tickets.goaugie.com. Augie.com. More details and a look at those schedules, go Augie.com. After his first season in Minnesota Vikings purple, Jonathan Greenard landed for the first time on the NFL Top 100 list as of yesterday. According to Vikings.com, the outside linebacker didn't just make the list. He made the top half. Greenard was announced at number 48 in the NFL Top 100 Players of 2025 by the league on Tuesday. He joined so far two other teammates who also made their Viking debut last season. Running back Aaron Jones was ranked 98. Fellow pass rusher and Iowa native Andrew Van Ginkle landed at number 88. Greenard, number 48 on the list, played 81% of Minnesota's defensive snaps across 17 regular season games, had 12 sacks, 59 tackles, 18 TFLs, 4 forced fumbles, 3 passes defended, and a partridge in a pear tree for Jonathan Greenard, number 48 on the NFL Top 100 list of 2025. That news courtesy of ESPN.com and Vikings.com. And lastly, speaking of ESPN, ESPN is acquiring the NFL Network officially, and other National Football League media assets, including the linear rights to the league's popular Red Zone channel, in a deal that will see the NFL get a 10% equity stake in the All Sports Network. Announcement made last night. ESPN will also acquire the NFL's fantasy product and merge it with its existing platform, making ESPN Fantasy Football the official game of the NFL. And in a separate deal, the NFL also agreed to license to ESPN other NFL content and intellectual property that will appear on the NFL Network and other assets. This marriage, a long time coming. It is official as of last night. NFL Network, ESPN, and of course, NFL Red Zone on the way. We will see what comes out of the deal, but exciting times moving forward in that partnership. When we come back, it's time to dive right back into the NFL chatter. A lot of news to get to. Jordan Addison did get suspended 3 games. We'll let you know which games he's suspended for, the impact, and who could step up in his absence, especially in the season opener in Chicago against the Bears on Monday Night Football. Season preview for the Eagles around the corner as well. We'll do that next on Overtime on a Wednesday right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Well, the biggest news of the day yesterday from the National Football League, at least regionally and locally, centers on Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison. Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Overtime on your Sioux Falls sports leader. The Vikings receiver has been suspended for the first 3 games of the upcoming NFL season for violating the league's substances of abuse policy. It was announced on Tuesday. Addison has spent the past 2 seasons as the Vikings' number 2 receiver. Very promising youngster. Will miss the opener at the Chicago Bears and then home games against Atlanta in Cincinnati. He'll be eligible to return for the Vikings in week 4 against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dublin. And this feels like a foregone conclusion, not crazy, shocking news. We are waiting to see because the NFL is dragged their feet on certain other suspension cases, notably Kansas City with Rashee Rice. We're still waiting to hear about a possible NFL disciplinary action there. But Jordan Addison gets 3 games. This is the baseline punishment for things of that nature. Any guilty plea regarding motor vehicles, DUI, things of that nature. And this wet, reckless charge was of that nature for Jordan Addison. He'll be out for 3 games, which begs the question for you Viking fans out there. Who is going to step up in the absence of Addison for those first 3 games? Team released their initial depth chart recently for 2025. And behind Justin Jefferson and Addison, who's out, the list goes like this. In Minnesota, Jalen Naylor, Ty Felton, the rookie from Maryland. And then guys that you've probably never heard of, I haven't. Dante Fleming, Miles Price, Robert Lewis. Behind Addison on the depth chart, you got Lucky Jackson, Rondale Moore, Tim Jones, Jashawn Jones, Thayer Thomas. Thomas and Silas Bolden. Felton likely going to be the guy to step up outside of Jalen Naylor. You know what Justin Jefferson is, best receiver in the NFL, second best receiver in the NFL at worst. He'll be there Monday Night Football to open up against the Bears, week two, week three on the way. But the names that'll need to step up are going to be Jalen Naylor, Ty Felton predominantly, and I would venture a guess that Rondale Moore, if he makes the team, if he looks the part, he's only 5'7", but I was a huge fan of his game at Purdue, big fan of his game at Arizona when he got drafted into the league, didn't really catch on with the Cardinals. I don't know what he's going to be this year, if he's just going to be a special teamer for Minnesota, or if he could be a big part of the offense. If anybody can figure it out, I do think Kevin O'Connell can for Rondale Moore, so look for him to have an increased role. Another intriguing name there is Tim Jones, coming over via Jacksonville, but he's been more of a special teams guy as well. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford's situation is getting a little bit more funky. He hasn't practiced in training camp due to a back injury, and a report today sheds some further light on the nature of what Stafford is dealing with over the summer. And it doesn't sound good. I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert, but this doesn't sound good for a quarterback that's about to enter a very physical season in the league. Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reports that an aggravated disc is keeping Stafford off the field. Stafford is receiving treatment for the issue that has reportedly included an epidural injection. Rams head coach Sean McVay said earlier this week that Stafford is, quote, progressing well, but that he wasn't ready yet for a jog through practice. The team has called Stafford week to week since the start of camp, and the goal remains to have him progress to the point where he's able to play in week one. Good news for the Rams out there is they do have a backup plan and a guy that should be able to plug and play pretty decent football there in LA if Stafford were to miss time. Jimmy Garoppolo, primary backup there with the Rams, and certainly has been a while since we've seen Jimmy G do good things on a football field, but that system, Sean McVay at coach, what they're going to ask him to do, the receiving core, which includes Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. They bolstered up at tight end, drafted a premier rookie in Terrence Ferguson. I like that offense regardless if Stafford is in or out. Obviously, Stafford going to move the needle, get that team to the postseason if he's healthy. But Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the better backup options right now in the National Football League. Well, the Cleveland Browns are expected to start rookie Shedeur Sanders at quarterback over the weekend of the team's preseason opener, and Sanders looking to prove he's not a backup. He should be the team's starter. He was selected in the fifth round of this year's draft and was the second quarterback the team picked behind Dylan Gabriel, who was taken in round three. The two rookies have been in competition for Cleveland's starting spot, along with Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Snoop Huntley, and just about everybody else you can imagine that's been brought in for that quarterback competition in Cleveland. This is a huge deal for Shedeur, especially because we got the news in piggybacking of this news that he's going to start. The only other player at the position that will play will be Snoop Huntley, who just got to the team and is likely, honestly, candidly, probably just a camp arm, probably just a guy that they brought in to be able to play and spell Shedeur if things go sideways, or I don't know, if you don't want to start a rookie quarterback for all four quarters of a preseason game by himself. I think Shedeur Sanders is in. I think he's going to play more than a half coming up in that ball game. And that Panthers-Browns game going to be right around the corner. That'll be Friday night, 6 o'clock on the NFL Network, and will be, I'm sure, the highest rated preseason game of the weekend. Cleveland.com, the first on the news of Sanders' expected start. Well, that's funky in the Rams territory with Matthew Stafford. What's going on in Dallas is beyond funky right now. The Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones is not confident that his Pro Bowl edge rusher Micah Parsons will be available for the September 4th season opener against the Eagles. No, absolutely not confident, Jones said after Tuesday's joint practice with the Rams. A big part of that decision, how would I know that? Parsons made a trade request Friday that Jones dismissed as part of the negotiation toward a multi-year agreement between the two sides. Since then, Jerry Jones has not spoken with Parsons. At one point before practice, they were a mere 7 yards apart, and there have been no discussions between the team and Parsons' agent, David Mugaletta. And he's with Athletes First. Jones was asked when the urgency for a deal would increase, and he eventually said, "I'm urgent." Are you? I don't think you are. You haven't been urgent when it was the time to strike and get this done last offseason. You play it out this year, played pretty well last year, did get dinged up, and then this offseason, you're showcasing your napkin negotiating skills and saying, well, we had a deal on paper, I don't know what the deal is. And then you're moving forward now, and I don't understand why he won't contact the agent, who is extraordinarily reputable throughout the NFL. I know personally, David Mugalette and Athletes First represents Aaron Jones and many, 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 many others throughout the NFL. This isn't some Bush League contact my uncle sort of deal with Micah Parsons. This is a premier agent. This is a premier player, premier franchise. I put that premier in quotes. And this is a weird stalemate. Now let's talk a little bit more about Jerry Jones, because Pro Football Talk has an interesting write-up here about bizarre deals and Jerry Jones and his negotiating tactics. The bizarre, clunky situation between the Cowboys and Micah Parsons continues to get more bizarre and more clunky, according to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com. Cowboys believe that they had a deal in place with Parsons back in March based on conversations and a supposed handshake. By the way, if you're meeting with the owner of your franchise, your general manager, even if the guy tells you, hey, you're out of shape, you're too fat, get in the locker room, get here earlier, get back into shape, you're going to shake his hand out of pure respect. I don't know if a handshake means, okay, that's the deal. That's how we do things in Dallas. I don't think that means a thing, but Jerry Jones, based on having some conversations about structure and cost and guarantees with Micah Parsons, thought that that was the deal. We don't have to worry about an agent. That's just the deal here. And here's what Jerry Jones had to say. I bought the Dallas Cowboys with a handshake. He told John Machota of The Athletic, it took about 30 seconds. I gave the number, shook hands, the details we worked out later. As a matter of fact, one of the details involved a lot of money, and I had to flip a coin over that. But the fundamental, I'm buying and you're going to sell it to me for that range, that's done. And those are done with eye contact and a handshake. That is old school. I get that. I understand that. I respect that conversation. But to completely ostracize the agent here, which I don't know is the person that negotiates every deal in the National Football League, the agent, or if a player is representing themselves, which Micah Parsons is notably not doing, you're excluding the agent from this negotiation. You're taking it on good faith that Micah Parsons is going to come into your office and negotiate a deal just like that, with a handshake and a wink-wink and a nudge-nudge. Jerry Jones, obviously living in the past. I understand and respect the handshake deal. The man of my word. My word is stronger than oak, as we saw in Jerry Maguire. That fell apart. This feels like it's falling apart. This is just weird, hurt feelings. I think it gets worked out between Micah Parsons and Dallas, but it continues to get a little strange. Speaking of strange, San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle is no stranger to strange behavior, and interrupted teammate Fred Warner's interview on NFL Network yesterday to break some surprising news that has left him upset with the league. Kittle crashed the set to, quote, air a grievance, and this one might surprise you, that the league informed teams on Tuesday morning via a memo that the league has prohibited the use of ammonia and smelling salts before and during all NFL games. According to the memo, beginning this season, teams are prohibited from, quote, providing or supplying ammonia in any form. That includes ammonia capsules, inhalers, ammonia in a cup, and any form of smelling salts. It applies to the entirety of a game, including pregame activities and halftime, and applies in the locker room and on the sideline. The memo says that the ban comes as a result of FDA warnings that were issued in 2024. In 2024, the FDA issued warnings to companies that produce commercially available ammonia inhalants, as well as to consumers about the purchase and use of AIs as they're regarding the lack of evidence supporting the safety or efficacy of AIs marketed for improving mental alertness or boosting energy. The FDA noted potential negative effects from their use. AIs also have the potential to mask certain neurological signs and symptoms, including potential signs of concussion. That is the big phrase there for the National Football League. But for me, this needs to be a partnership. But it never is. The NFL just does things, and the players and the PA, which has been a disaster, kind of just bows and says, okay. They might throw up a little bit of a fuss here like we saw Kittle do, but this snap decision here, based on the evidence that they have at the NFL, feels a little bit out of bounds. Why not open it up for discussion? Make it a part of a rule change moving forward. Smelling salts go together with pro football like spaghetti and meatballs. Since I was a kid, I always wondered, what the heck is that? What are they smelling there? And their eyes get wide and they shake their head and go, I'm ready to go. I don't have an issue with it. I don't really have an opinion on it. I've never done smelling salts. I don't know about the efficacy or what it does or if it does mask concussion symptoms. That would be a concern if it is factual, but it did surprise the players caught George Kittle at least off guard as of yesterday. Wide receiver Keenan Allen officially back in the National Football League. A long free agency break was ended yesterday. Spent the first 11 years of his career with the Chargers and is now returning to the team. This makes a ton of sense. After Mike Williams' surprise retirement last month, a reunion between the 33-year-old wide receiver and the Chargers seemed possible. Allen worked out for the team on Friday and will now reunite with quarterback Justin Herbert and the squad. The six-time Pro Bowler will be walking into a much different receiving room than the one he left when the Chargers traded him to the Bears following the 2023 season. Wide receiver Ladd McConkey, who broke many of Allen's rookie receiving records last year, spends most of his time as a slot receiver like Allen. Offense coordinator Greg Roman will be tasked with making Allen and McConkey mesh in the passing offense. But now, the reason I like this so much is the familiarity, the sentimentality of it. That's obvious. That's hogwash to a lot of people. Nobody really cares too much about that stuff, but Keenan Allen comes in very familiar with the franchise, how they do things, and in addition to that, he comes into a receiver room that needs a veteran, needs a reliable target. How much does he have left in the tank? He looked kind of slow last year in Chicago, but was not awful by any stretch of the imagination. But he comes in here where Williams is out. They've got young receivers in Quentin Johnston and Trey Harris that they brought in. Johnston's been largely a disappointment. I'm not ready to give up on him yet, nor should the Chargers be, but they got Trey Harris and a few others mixed into the roster. Keenan Allen will probably be a starter right out of the gates for the Chargers this year, so this is a pretty good free agent signing. And yes, Amari Cooper is still out there. Top free agent wide receiver still available. Amari Cooper, former Bill, former Raider, former Cowboy, all over the place. We'll see where he ends up in the coming days and weeks, but I would imagine Allen signing will up the urgency for Amari Cooper to get a deal done and team's urgency to reach out to Cooper's agent. Desmond Watson, who is the defensive lineman who weighed in at 464 pounds at Florida's Pro Day back earlier this year, became the heaviest player in NFL history when the Buccaneers signed him as an undrafted free agent rookie. Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com has an update on Watson's NFL journey. It's a good one, but not a great one. Watson has lost some weight, but not enough yet. Buccaneers general manager Jason Licht said the team still wants him focused exclusively on his weight loss and conditioning before he's ready to practice with the team. Here's what Licht had to say yesterday. We have some milestones we want him to hit before we get him out there. He's doing a solid job getting there. That is all I will say. Certainly the weight is a concern. It's a reason. Not on the football field. 464 pounds at a recent Florida Pro Day back in March for Desmond Watson. A little bit more svelte these days. No report on the weight yet, but according to the Buccaneers thresholds, Desmond Watson still working down to playing shape. Now let's preview the Philadelphia Eagles season. They are coming off of a championship winning season with a record of 14-3 a season ago, and the Eagles come back hungry and a favorite to do just more of that. 14-3 last year, first in their division, Super Bowl champions under fifth year head coach Nick Sirianni. The record for Coach Sirianni is pretty darn impressive. 48-20 through four complete seasons, 6-3 postseason record, two Super Bowl appearances, one win and one loss, both against the Chiefs. Additions to the roster are few for Philadelphia. They added Azeez Ojulari, a pass rusher, Josh Uche, a pass rusher, cornerback Adoree Jackson, tackle Kendall Lamb, and running back. And the mayor of Door County, Wisconsin, A.J. Dillon, comes to town to join Philadelphia. The departure. Several big names commanded the free agent market from Philadelphia this offseason. Defensive tackle Milton Williams out of town, as is defensive end Josh Sweat, veteran corner Darius Slay, guard Mekhi Becton, and cornerback and now Viking cornerback Isaiah Rodgers. Last year, the Eagles were really darn good, not elite offensively, but they were eighth in yards and seventh in points. They were elite defensively, first in yards, second in points per game allowed, and they were darn good in taking care of and valuing the football. The Eagles finished plus 11 in turnover margin. That was good for sixth in the NFL. This season for Philadelphia, they have the fourth hardest schedule. The divisional outlook, I put competitive, but it's theirs to lose. If we're being honest, Philadelphia is the best, most complete team in that division and might be the best, most complete team in the National Football League. Playoffs, yes, and I put a virtual lock. You never know what happens, barring injury, something funky, something could have derailed this team's season, but I don't really see it happening as currently constructed. Philly, a virtual lock to dance into the postseason again. Now, Vegas has the over-under win total for Philadelphia at just 11.5 wins. You look at the division, they should sweep Dallas. They should sweep the Giants. That is four wins right there. They should also probably split or sweep Washington. That's five wins for Philly. So, yeah, I'm going over Philadelphia 11.5. I think they go for 12 or 13 wins this year, and things continue to look in a good direction for the Eagles. Are they going to win the Super Bowl again? Are you offering me Eagles or the field? I'll take the field. But if you're saying Eagles or a couple teams around there, Philadelphia, one of the better teams on paper in the NFL. I love Baltimore, what they've got cooked up. I really like Buffalo, despite the deficiencies offensively and the regression of the defense last year. There are a few teams that I like better standalone value than Philly. They are a Super Bowl favorite to DraftKings Sportsbook. But yeah, Philadelphia Super Bowl, very, very likely an appearance at least. But a feisty NFC awaits them, including the Rams, the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, the Niners will be back in good. The Buccaneers, undervalued team. NFC should be feisty, AFC even better. Philadelphia on the short list of Super Bowl contenders and playoff locks in 2025. We take the break, come back, diving into high school football schedules around the corner. We are two Fridays away from getting the season underway in South Dakota, and then three Fridays away for AAA underway, AA underway, single A, 11A football getting underway in South Dakota. That scheduling latest and the college football world buying and selling title odds. Which contenders am I not feeling too good about ahead of the season? That's coming up next on Overtime.
Streaming live online, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this middle-of-the-week edition of Overtime. On the air at 10, off the air at 11:30 today. Hour number two on the way, the identity crisis right around 11:15. Big opportunity to win. Big on the show, including some Minnesota Twins tickets. If you can tell me what former Major League Baseball player I have on my mind today, that number to dial when you think you know the answer is 605-362-3776. If you missed the show yesterday, you missed this news. With three first place votes, the back-to-back defending NSIC football conference champion Augustana football team was tabbed to finish second for the 2025 season announced by the conference office yesterday. In the same release, quarterback Gunnar Hensley was selected as the South Division preseason offensive player of the year, and defensive back Logan Leonard was named as another Vikings player to watch. The complete poll available at ESPNSiouxFalls.com as Minnesota Mankato at number one. The Mavericks got 11 of the 14 first place votes. Augie was second, Duluth was third, Bemidji fourth, and USF Cougar football in at number five following a resurgent season in which they won five more games than they did the year prior. USF and Augie's coaches, Jim Gligowski, Jerry Olszewski, will be joining us every single week before and during the college football season. That preview chat's going to be the week of August the 22nd, I believe. Yeah, the August 18th through 25th through the 29th. They'll be on the show for the first time in season, and they'll be in studio. You won't want to miss those chats to preview the Augustana Viking and USF Cougar seasons ahead. Stats Perform put out the FCS Top 25 earlier this week, and North Dakota State was just about unanimous. The Bison got 54 of 56 first-place votes. Montana State, the second-ranked team, got one first-place vote following a 15-1 finish and a runner-up finish in the FCS level last year. South Dakota State was third, no first-place vote. South Dakota was fourth, but they did get a love of one particular voter for their top spot. USD, fourth in the poll, one first-place vote, and UIW, University of Incarnate Word Cardinal Football, rounding out the top five. Illinois State, 6, Montana, 7, UC Davis, 8, Rhode Island, 9, and Tarleton State, the Texans. That was a feisty bunch that came down to Vermillion in the postseason. I think that was quarterfinals or maybe even a second-round game for USD. Tarleton State rounding out the top 10 at number 10. Sacramento State, the opponent for week 1 for SDSU in Brookings. The Hornets come in at number 15 in the poll. And Southern Illinois, the last MVFC team in the top 25, North Dakota and Youngstown State in the others receiving votes category. Let's dive into some South Dakota high school football schedules here before the top of the hour. Week 1 for classes 11B, 9AA, 9A, and 9B will start Friday, August the 22nd. That is a week earlier than their peers with the bigger numbers and the bigger classes. 11A, AA, AAA will start the following week, August the 29th, a Friday. So in 9B, the one area team of noting here that will be in action is Sioux Falls Lutheran. They'll be home to Irene Wakanda Friday, August 22nd to begin their season. August the 29th, here's your look at what's going to come up then. 11A, Canton will be at Rapid City Christian, Del Rapids at Dakota Valley, Vermillion visiting Lennox, and Sioux Falls Christian on the road in Hartford against the West Central Trojans. In 11AA, also on this Friday, August 29th, Spearfish will be in town to lock horns with the T-Titans. We talked with Coach Scott Fry just yesterday on the show, got a preview of their season. Should be another good one for Titan football. It begins on August 29th, home to Spearfish. And AAA, your week 1 schedule, August the 29th, all 9 teams in action that night. Rapid City Stevens in town to face off with Lincoln. O'Gorman travels south to Harrisburg. Roosevelt out west to Rapid City Central. Jefferson up north to Watertown, and Brandon Valley will be at Howard Woodfield for the nightcap against Sioux Falls Washington. Now your college football schedule for our area teams: Iowa, Iowa State, USF, Nebraska, Minnesota, and many others gets going on August 23rd. That is 2 weekends from this Saturday. So certainly a massive game. It's not in the United States. It is in Dublin. They're dubbing it Farmageddon between Iowa State and Kansas State. I have the spread up right now. It might surprise you a little bit based on the love we give the Cyclones on the show here. Kansas State has also been a very formidable program of late with a lot of expectations this year down in Manhattan. The little apple of Manhattan. Kansas State favored by 3 overseas in Dublin against Iowa State and Coach Matt Campbell, quarterback Rocco Beck. That number 3 right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. You can grab the Cyclones on the money line at plus 140. That is Saturday, August 23rd. That is week 0 of FBS. And then Thursday, the 28th, we'll see a couple area teams in action earlier than many across college football. USF will be in action that night out west in Spearfish against Black Hill State. Nebraska meets up with Cincinnati, neutral site game in Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium on that Thursday, August 28th to begin a very impactful and possibly impressive season for the Huskers. Year number 3 under Coach Matt Rhule underway Thursday, August 28th. Gophers are also in action. They'll be home to the University of Buffalo Bulls coming up Thursday, August 28th. And then Saturday, the 30th, Iowa, Iowa State, SDSU and Augustana will all be in action. Iowa home to UAlbany. USD traveling to Ames to lock horns with the Cyclones. That is the second game of the season for Iowa State. Sacramento State at SDSU and Missouri Western will be the opponent for Augustana on Saturday, August the 30th. For the latest and greatest on those schools, check out their websites, Go Auggie, USFCougars.com, GoJacksGoYotes.com as well. That's the latest. We referenced that spread. Iowa State, Kansas State, that number is 3. One other game that has piqued some interest in week 0, Stanford and Hawaii from the Hawaiian Islands. Stanford is a 1.5-point dog, long air travel over there to those islands, and the Warriors favored at home, 1.5 the number, courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, a little buy or sell here before we dive in to our end of the hour break and top of the hour break. Buying and selling your title contenders based on odds right now. Here's your top 10 in order. Texas has the best odds to win it at plus 550. That's actually tied now with Ohio State. Penn State plus 700. Georgia tied there, plus 700 as well. Clemson and Bama tied for third, or tied, excuse me, for fifth at plus 1,000. Oregon, Notre Dame, LSU, and Michigan rounding out the top 10. So buying and selling, I'm going to buy five or buy six and sell four of the top 10. I'm buying Texas, no doubt about it. Rock solid roster, great coaching staff, hungry group. They check all the boxes. They return a quarterback, not their starting quarterback, but the pedigree is there for Arch Manning. Circle me as a believer for Texas. I'm also going to buy Georgia. I like what they have in store. They didn't graduate too much this offseason. There's still a little concern around the program with all the off-field antics, but I'm buying Kirby Smart and a resurgent season for the Bulldogs. I'm also buying into Cade Klubnik and Clemson. His name continues to pop up, and I'm a believer now there. Alabama, not going to bet against Coach DeBoer. Circle them there as well. Oregon, for my money, Dan Lanning is my favorite and the best coach at the collegiate level right now. Gets the most out of his players, unorthodox, fiery, fired up at all times. I like Oregon despite the quarterback change. I'm buying into the Ducks. Notre Dame, same deal. New quarterback. They got Jeremiah Love. They got the receivers back. I really like Notre Dame this year to get right back to where they were perhaps and compete for a national title. And then I'm going to sell these four teams in the top 10. Michigan, need to see more. Need to get the quarterback situation figured out. We'll see, but I'm selling them. LSU, like the Nussmeier kid, don't love Brian Kelly and his pedigree, so I'm going to sell LSU. And I'm also boldly, perhaps foolishly, going to sell Penn State and Ohio State. Not that I don't think they're contenders, but in terms of will they be there in the end? Will they compete for a national championship? I'm out on Drew Aller. I think he's okay. I think he's functional. I think he'll get a shot at the NFL, but I was not impressed with his postseason performance in the end last year. Rattled, yes. Bonehead moves, yes included. Need to see more, and we know James Franklin and the MO there. Big games are a nightmare. And then for Ohio State, I said it last week on the show. I'll say it again. The quarterback turnover, the loss of the running backs, the loss of Igbuka. I know who they have on the outside. Certainly, great receiver in Jeremiah Smith. I need to see more from Ohio State. The defense lost some pieces as well. We'll see. But for right now, I'm going to buy six of the top 10 as title contenders. Texas, UGA, Clemson, Bama, Oregon, and Notre Dame. And I'm going to sell slash not stoke the fire, stoke the flames of Ohio State, Penn State, LSU, and Michigan. For now, that's the latest from college football, South Dakota prep football as well. When we come back, headlines and highlights, the identity crisis, and the good, the bad, and the ugly before we wrap up this early and shortened edition of Overtime right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.